It's 7 o'clock, time for The Beacon.
I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman. Welcome back to The Beacon. We've been on a bit of a hiatus. There's been, it's been a bit of a roller coaster over here on our end, and we are here without our very good friend and my co-host, Bill Jurek. This show is in tribute to him. Very sadly, he has passed away. And for those of you who are longtime listeners, you probably did catch on to the fact that he has had several years of struggling with his health. And sadly, his body just gave. He was a tremendous fighter, and he really fought this thing tooth and nail for many, many years. But ultimately, he passed last Sunday. I guess it's been a week ago Sunday now. And we are here. I am here with our producer and very dear friend, Brian Hawkins, and we are dedicating the show to our dear friend, Bill Jurek. We had such a great time with this show, you know, yes. I mean, and we kind of had this ongoing debate. We could never figure out how many years we'd actually been on the air. I think I always wanted to give us an extra year, and he was always, I think he was right, because he had the memory of an elephant. Like, this man didn't forget a single thing.
Right.
But he, I always remember because my daughter had just turned 3 and she's going to be 12. So in March, which is when the show started to come to air. So I think in March it will have been 9 years that we've been on the air now. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
You're going to have to start debating this with me.
It was I'll on have to go back and count the shows. Right. We did over 40, 45 shows a year.
Oh my gosh.
God, we have fun. Not only on the air, but also off the air.
Yes.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
That's a nice song for you to sing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, you want to say a few syllables?
Oh.
That's one.
The next one.
Our associate producer, Sandy Murillo, along with Brett Shishkoff, talk about sailing lessons for the visually impaired and totally blind, actually getting out on Lake Michigan, and sailing the wind and feeling.
It
says
wind,
Geeling.
Pardon me.
I mean, usually.
Excuse me. I have cold hands. I'm in this room here.
Usually, I can decipher the typos. That one took me a couple of tries. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's my bad. I should just know.
You should have seen my news copy when I used to write it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody could read it.
Oh, boy.
We're back. Bill Jurek here.
Lainey Kleeman here.
Can you believe it's
good morning, good morning.
So, Mary, you didn't know the mic was coming on?
I still hear TJ when he was a baby in the background going, and then
I might just want to hit it up and celebrate. Woo!
Oh, I didn't even know. Are you ready? Coming in 3.
Oh, man, I was lucky.
Seriously. Join us for The Beacon, Saturdays at 7 a.m. on WCPT.
God, it's hard to believe that it's been almost, it has been 6 months since we had Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White on the air with us. So we figured we better check into the office. And the reason I'm doing that.
Fellow who works in my office, his name is Dave Drucker. And Dave established a wonderful relationship with Bill Jurek, and he introduced me to Bill many, many years ago, about 18 years ago, and I found him to be exciting, knowledgeable, and upbeat. And he always had a wonderful dog with him. And I think the last one was Lincoln. That was the guy that I was quite fond of all of them. But Lincoln is the one that stands out above the rest. And I'm very honest with you. I'm going to miss the guy. He's a wonderful human being, and I know that there's a place in heaven for him.
You could probably still give our address, too.
I think I could.
Or our phone number?
Yes, I think I could.
See, she's good. This lady is fantastic.
I'm a treasure, really. I'm a treasure.
Let's not get crazy now. But anyway.
Well, Brett, the phrase that I would often hear from Bill, I know, Brett, you know this. What's for lunch today?
Yep, every
That's
morning.
That's what Bill would always ask me, you know?
It would pretty much be the first thing I would come into is him like, oh, let's talk to the boss. That was his nickname for you, was the boss. And then the first thing he would say every single morning, the first thing that I would hear is, so what's for lunch, Sandy?
Looking on my phone, reading the, you know, cafeteria menu,
uh-huh.
or telling him what I brought for lunch.
Pizza.
I know myself. he did battle a lot of health issues, and me and him had a lot in common in that aspect. Myself, I've battled cancer 3 times, and so we definitely had a lot of conversations about the battles of health and trying to stay strong and positive through tough times. And, you know, we would see our families and friends around us and how they would react. And sometimes we had to be the positive one, even when we were going through the really tough times. And I know Bill, every time I saw him, when he would come into the studio, it didn't seem like anything was really bothering him. He always was just Bill, always wanting to have good conversation about whatever was going on in the day. You could talk politics with him and not get angry. You could talk about food, just whatever the topic was. It was always a fun, great conversation.
So.
Yes.
Christmas Italian style.
Ravioli or lasagna?
Well, yeah, my father-in-law preferred ravioli. Do you know my late wife, my sister-in-law, and my mother-in-law used to make anywhere between 500 and 700 ravioli.
Oh, my gosh.
Right before Christmas. And they would store them. You know, they would freeze them.
Right.
Some of them were cheese and, cheese were some of them. And then the others were spinach and meat.
Oh, my gosh.
And she made homemade gravy that was with neck bones.
Right.
Sausage in there, brajol. I mean, it made you mouth water just to think about it.
You're not going to talk about coconut oil again this week, are you?
No, I'm not. Okay. Right. I'm not.
That sounds good.
Hello, everyone. Today in this special show, remembering Bill Jurek, I am speaking with our very own Jim Kestelute. Jim, who was the former executive director of the Chicago Lighthouse. He has great memories about Bill. I know, Jim, that we were talking earlier, and you were mentioning that, you know, you and Bill go back a long, long time ago.
We go back farther than I even realized when once we started with Chris Rado here at the Lighthouse. Bill and I were having a cup of coffee, and out of the blue, he says to me, "How's your mother Lottie doing?" Her nickname was Lottie, wasn't it? And I said, "Well, yeah." And then he said, "Well, how's your Uncle Casey and your Aunt Mary and your Uncle Eddie? And how's your brother Ted doing?" And I says, "Well, yeah, they're all doing fine. How mm-hmm. do you happen to know my family?"
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Well, you probably don't remember, but, you know, in the early 50s, we lived across the street from each other on Central Park in Belmont, and your grandmother and my grandmother were best friends. And my aunts and uncles played with your aunts and uncles. And, you know, we lived across the street from each other
mm-hmm.
at that time. So we sort of had a reconnection. I've known Bill professionally probably for 20 years, you know, when he was with WLIT and, of course, with Chris Radio and NBC.
No, and you alluded to the fact that Bill, you know, for those of you that might not know, Chris Radio, it started at the Lighthouse in around 2006, correct, Jim?
2003.
2003,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah, and you mentioned that he played an important role in getting it started here at Chris Radio, at the Lighthouse, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he sure did. He mm-hmm. Was on the board of Chris Radio along mm-hmm. with Rich Carlson, who mm-hmm. was a member of Central Lions Club, and Central Lions Club was the genesis for Chris Radio back in the late 70s, early 80s. I think Chris's first program on the air was around 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill and Chris, you know, were on the board. I'm sorry, Bill and Dick Carlson were on the board mm-hmm. at Chris. And around 2002, early 2003, you know, Chris was having some financial troubles, you know, generating income and contributions to pay for its expenses. And I know Bill was partly behind this, and we got a call from Rich Carlson of Chris's board, and Bill supported that call. And, you know, Chris's board asked the Lighthouse if we would fund Chris for a period of time to see if they could get themselves back on their feet by raising money and being able to be more financially independent. So the Lighthouse funded Chris in 2003, mm-hmm. probably for 4, 5, maybe 6 months. And at the end of that period of time, the board, and again, Bill was on the board at that time, asked the Lighthouse if we would, you know, take Chris and move it here and build a studio and continue Chris as part of the Lighthouse and one of Lighthouse's programs. And we did, in fact, do that. We moved Chris from the Cultural Center here to the Lighthouse, and Bill was involved every step of the way, making sure everything got moved here. And the studios, when they were built here, you know, Bill was here making sure everything was installed properly and the way he wanted, comfortably, you know. So, and Bill later also became president of Central Lions Club, which back in the late 70s, early 80s, was the spark that got Chris started from the beginning.
Wow. So, it, you know, they, Bill was instrumental all along in, you know, in the helping Chris Radio and helping it get started here at the Lighthouse. I know that personally, it, you know, it has offered many career opportunities. I was telling you too earlier about how I got started personally with Chris Radio. You know, first as a very informal email with Bill, you know, asking him about career advice. And, you know, he told me, you know, here we can possibly offer you an internship. And this was in April of 2014. And, you know, 3 years later, I'm in the associate producer for Chris. And
yeah, Bill was very aware of what was most important to people who are blind. And employment and a job was most important. And actually, I remember back, it was in the mid and later 80s, you know, where I was asked to do a Chris Radio program.
Sure.
When the studios were at the Cultural Center, and I did a program on employment, on jobs, and would interview employers and people who are blind doing all different kind of jobs. And part of that was Bill's idea, you know, because he was aware of employment being one of the major needs of people who are blind.
No, for sure, a beacon of hope to a lot of people, including myself, you know. And what's
yeah, me too. And I think he was an inspiration, I think, to people who are blind who were striving to identify a career that they would want to get into. And so often a person who's blind or a person that has a disability, people are saying, oh, you can't do that. They're discouraged from doing it. And probably broadcasting was one of those fields that people would say, oh, you don't pursue that. There's no opportunities there. And here's Bill, you know, doing a program at WLIT and running Chris Radio.
Yeah, very
so
much
so. He was a role model for a lot of people who
Very much so, very much so. I know that Bill had a great sense of humor. What are maybe some of the things or memories that stand out to you the most about Bill?
There are two things, when you mentioned that, that stand out in my mind. I live in Arlington Heights, so I catch Metro, take it downtown, jump on a bus here to the Lighthouse. And Bill did the same. You know, he lived in Mount Prospect, one stop closer to Chicago than Arlington Heights. And I'd be on the train, and the train was like a funeral home. I mean, it was quiet, like a library. I mean, nobody's talking. People are reading the newspaper or reading their laptops, and it is quiet. I mean, if you make noise, you know, you know, can get reprimanded by some of the passengers. But it was very quiet. So as our train pulled out of Arlington Heights, that was one of the things I always noted, how quiet it was. And I'd ride the 7:30 train, and Bill rode the 7:30 train, that same train out of Mount Prospect a couple of minutes later. And as it pulled into Mount Prospect and the train doors open, all of a sudden you would hear commotion. And it was Bill getting on the train with his guide dog and talking to people. And he would, you know, open the door and go into the coach part of the train, and he would start talking to people, and they would, oh, Bill, how you doing? And then, you know, all the way downtown, it was almost like a party. I think the second thing that I think is typical with Bill was in some of his interviews that he did with celebrities or VIPs, whatever you might want to call them. I just remember an interview he did with Barack Obama. Senator Obama visited the Lighthouse here in September of 2005, and shortly thereafter, Bill arranged an interview on Chris Radio with Senator Obama. Mm-hmm. And he covered all kinds of things in that interview, everything from soup to nuts. I mean, he talked about being a new senator in Washington and what whose desk is he sitting at. And, you know, and Senator Obama said, well, I'm sitting at Bobby Kennedy's old desk. And I mean, Bill was just great at pulling out those kind of interesting facts. And he covered how we got the Instructional Materials Center here at the Lighthouse, because the senator, when he was in the state legislature, supported it being transferred and run by the Lighthouse. He talked about Veterans Affairs and how he helped veterans in Illinois and how he did road construction. And Bill went through all of these topics in this half an hour program. And towards the end of the program, he asked the senator, he says, I have two more questions I'd like to ask you. And he started by saying, you're living in Washington, D.C., and the senator, and he set the senator up really great for this, because then the senator says, well, my wife is here in Chicago with our two kids, so one is 7 and one is 4, and I'm in D.C., and then Bill says, the question I want to ask you is, do you do your own laundry? And then the next question was, do you shop for your own food? Do you do your own shopping? That's how he ended the interview, and the senator just played right into it. It was, I thought, a spectacular interview, spectacular humor, and a spectacular way to end an interview with a spectacular guest.
Very much so. Yeah. It's...
Well, I'll tell you what, we're very lucky to have a gentleman of your stature in the Senate, because it sounds like you're there for us, the people, and that's what it's all about. And I just want to ask you two more questions, and I'm going to let you go, because I know you got to press for time. But you still do your own laundry and still go grocery shopping?
Well, I absolutely do my own laundry and do my own shopping when I'm in Washington. Don't have any choice. I'm like, you know, living the bachelor life there. I've got a little apartment.
You mean you don't have one of these luxurious senatorial lives that we always hear about?
No, you know, the I'm living in a little apartment with there are a bunch of law students in the building.
Oh, great.
On law school. So I think I'm the only guy over 30 in the entire building. And you know, so I've got to fend for myself. You know, I'm eating tuna and pizza, and yeah. You know, it's like I've gone back in time.
Well, hey, listen, you know, and you stay with the law students, you stay young. You know, yeah. That's the whole thing. Hey, listen, best of luck to you. I'd like to check back with you from time to time if you don't mind.
I would enjoy it very much.
Look at our program as being a friend of yours, and you can feel free to call us anytime that you need anything that you'd like to tell the constituents back here in Illinois.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. That's Illinois Senator Barack Obama joining us on our program this morning. We'll be back in a few minutes to wrap things up.
Bill, it's one of those things that we've said here at the Beacon. He's, you know, we've got big shoes to fill in Bill's absence. I think we all do. He will be greatly missed by everyone. And, you know, it's a big loss.
Yeah, I'll miss him. Occasionally we would go out to lunch together somewhere up in the northwest suburbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get away from, in a sense, work and just talk about normal things like politics and things.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Definitely.
He had his own opinions. I mean, he definitely had his own opinions, but would always convey them in a respectful way.
Very much so. Well, Jim, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, one of the things, one of the things I've been involved with, I'm on the board at the Lighthouse, and one of the things I've been involved with in the past couple of years is doing archives. The Lighthouse is over 110 years old, and you know, we have, I think, a great history. So we have an archives committee, and I head up that committee, and you know, we're saving documents, and some of us set up a meeting at Chicago History Museum to get some pointers if we were going to do, you know, set up an archives file here. And one of the things the Chicago History Museum said is you need to really not just collect documents and pictures and photos and newspaper articles, but you need to interview your senior staff, people who are eyewitnesses to history here at the Lighthouse. And the Archives Committee asked Bill if he would interview one of our senior staff who's been working at the Lighthouse in our industries program for like 47 years, and Bill interviewed that particular staff person and got a lot of personal insight on some of our history, like what happened here on 9/11, things like that.
Sure.
And after Bill did that interview, I stopped and talked with him about how it went, because that was important to the Archives Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill said, let's do a series. He enjoyed that interview so much, mm-hmm. and recognized the value of history of an organization. And
mm-hmm.
he suggested that we do a whole series on Chris Radio, an archive series, interviewing the senior staff and, finding out from staff's perspective what some of the major events that have historical significance had here at the Lighthouse. For example, when Senator Obama visited, became president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We shouldn't lose that kind of history. And Bill was very insightful and recognized that, and was very involved in collecting that kind of information.
Well, Jim, I know that we could go on hours and hours talking about all the great things that Bill did. It's great having you once again on the show. And, the Beacon, we will continue to make you and everyone here at the Lighthouse an integral part of the show. I know that over the years you've been interviewed.
Thank you for having me.
It'll be our pleasure.
I love Bill Jarek. He's a great man.
I got to tell you a story about myself with a cane. I always wanted to hide the vision that I had when I worked at NBC. So I talked to the engineers in construction, and I said, listen, can you guys cut me a piece of pipe that's about, 40 inches tall? I says, I need it. I'm doing some work on my stereo at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy in the construction department, he says, yeah, we'll take care of you. So I went in, and then it came time for me to leave, and I asked him, I said, you guys got that little thin pipe for me? And he says, yeah, here, take it. So I took it, I put it under my arm, and I walked out as if nothing was wrong, right? And then I got down the street, and I was using it as a cane.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it so much that I came here the next morning before I went into work and bought a foldable cane, a collapsible cane,
really? Mm-hmm.
So that I could use it. It still put it away when I got inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the engineer, it just shows how people observe, and you think you're hiding it well.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for the people that need the help, with the low vision clinic. You think you're hiding it well, but you're not doing that good of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I walked in the work the next morning, and the that same engineer says, how'd that pipe work out for you? I said, I haven't used it. I won't use it till the weekend. He said, no, how did it work for you going home last night?
Wow.
And I said, what are you talking about? He says, you think we haven't been seeing what's going on over here?
Mm-hmm.
He says, we spray painted it white for you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So they were able to, get me home with that. And then I found out how really good it was.
Mm-hmm.
So for those in the audience that are listening and think that you're hiding it, you're not hiding it. The sighted world can easily see through whatever mirage you're trying to put up. So
when you come to or call the Lighthouse, if you're lucky enough, you'll meet Zenobia Shelby. And Bill and Zenobia enjoyed many interactions. Zenobia, welcome. Tell us your Bill story.
Oh, my God. Where do I even begin? I want to say, one of my first interactions with Bill, we were in the cafeteria and I was getting something to eat. And at the time, he had his guide dog, Abner. So I'm sitting in line, and I feel something cold and wet going up my leg. And it was Abner. I guess I must have had a nice pair of legs. And I said, Bill, Abner is sniffing at my legs. He said, well, I taught him everything I know. So, what a great thing to teach your guide dogs, We always had a certain camaraderie. I would tell him, I said, my day doesn't go by unless I get to hassle with him. Like, if he calls and I answer the phone, good morning, Chicago Lighthouse. And I said, I knew my head and stomach would have to hurt for a reason. How you doing, Bill? So that was our normal thing. And we would just continue on from there. I can say, really, on a personal note, myself being a cancer survivor, I remember when I was going through my treatment and my ordeal back in 2012, Bill Jerk was there a lot for me, talked me through a lot of rough times and rough patches in dealing with that aspect. and something like that, given I was going through all the personal issues at that time in my life, he was a great catalyst for me. And I mean, words cannot describe how much he pulled me through a lot of different things, especially dealing with going through radiation treatment for cancer itself. So, I mean, like I said, he will definitely be sorely missed. Only thing I will say, honestly, I would not miss is those disgusting orange Tootsie Pops that he had to have every single time I brought in candy. Those he could have at it, though. But no, I just want to say, Bill, I miss you, my friend. Please rest easy.
I kind of liked what I did last week.
What did you do last week?
A formal opening.
You did? We're not formal, though. We're just not that.
Well, we wear our robes to the breakfast table, for Pete's sake. I mean, you know, I'm not pretty in the morning, believe me.
That's all right.
Yeah, breakfast, you know. And we wanted to check in with Moped, as I affectionately refer to him, or the mayor's office for people with disability. Karen, how are you this year? Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Over the years, Bill has always reached out to me on a regular basis to say, hey, what's going on at the city? Any new projects or initiatives you want to talk about? And, you know, I always jumped at the opportunity to be interviewed by him on Chris Radio, and because he was such a great, you know, he provided such a great opportunity to get the word out about what we're doing on disability issues. And, you know, he was a great man. He was enthusiastic. He was friendly. He cared about the city and cared about people with disabilities, and it's just a big loss to our community. His style was just so easygoing. He always asked such great questions, and I just think we had a really easy rapport. And, you know, he called me up, hey, can you be on the show on Tuesday? I'll give you a call. And what's going on at the city? How are you doing? Just always really interested in the issues of the day. It was just always such a pleasure to be on his show, just for so many reasons, because it gave us a great opportunity. But for him, I think he really loved hearing what was going on in Chicago. And I'm just going to very much miss him. It's a huge loss for the city not to have him here anymore. But I'm just so grateful that his legacy is going to continue with the Beacon carrying on its important work to give information to the disability and blind and low vision community. So that gives me comfort. He will be in my heart, in my mind, and same thing with my staff who knew him for so long, you know, over the years. It's hard.
It hit me like a ton of bricks when it happened that Bill had passed away, because, you know, my kids, when I think of the first time that he interviewed me, my kids were little. They were pre-kindergarten. And now both my kids are in middle school, and my son's going to be in high school next year. You know, we covered a lot of ground. And you know that everybody has great things in life, and they have regrets. And one of my big regrets is that I never met Bill in person. You know, it was my first impression when he called me the first time to do an interview is that he had this beautiful, just golden radio voice. His voice was right out of Central Casting, you know, in terms of a radio personality's voice, just beautiful. But then my second impression was just that he had just such a great heart. He always asked about my family, even on the air, and wanted to know what was happening in the Chilson household, and I always appreciated that. So I thought he was hilarious. You know, we were always talking about serious things. You know, my organization, Citizens Utility Board, fights rate hikes and rip-offs, and we were always talking about serious and sometimes really depressing things about rate hikes, but Bill always made room for his humor, which is what I think what great radio hosts do. They make you feel at ease, and they're really funny. And, you know, if we brought up natural gas, for example, I would just wait for Bill to give a punchline about, you know, his own gas or his own hot air. You could always expect some type of punchline about that. And it was always just a joy to get interviewed by him. You know, I've been doing this for nearly 20 years. You know, I've been blessed to meet a lot of exceptional people. I've been very lucky in that way, and people who've just made me a better person, and Bill was one of them. Now, let me just say, you know, my condolences to Bill's family, but also to the Chicago Lighthouse family. I know that's just, it's always hard. It's a part of life when things like this happen, but I'm sure he's just really happy about the good people that are gonna fill his shoes now. I was grateful to meet Bill, and like I said, you know, I've just been very lucky to meet people like that who actually challenge you in their own way to be a better person.
Some call him the Baron of Good News. Some would like to take a gun at him for the news he brings. But he's only the messenger, so don't hurt him. I'm talking about Jim Chilson from the Citizens Utility Board.
Hey, James, boy, what an introduction.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever experienced an introduction like that.
Well, see, this is one you should tape and keep, you know?
Dominic Calabrese, our Senior Vice President of Public Relations here at the Lighthouse. Dom, what are some of your memories that stand out the most about Bill?
Well, gosh, I have so many wonderful memories about Bill. He was a dear friend and colleague and someone who I respected enormously. He had so much knowledge about the media. I remember coming to talk to him to brainstorm about pitching ideas to different radio stations and TV stations, too, for that matter. And he knew the media so well. He worked with many of the personalities. As you know, he was a legend in Chicago radio and as a staff announcer at NBC5, so he really had his hand on the pulse of the media. Mm-hmm. So I'll miss the opportunity to brainstorm with him, pick his brain about ideas, about people to pitch stories to. He just had an incredible amount of insight. And we became good friends along the way. We talked politics, we talked travel, we talked sports, we talked about vacation spots. And Bill did me a particular honor when he would speak to my students at Columbia College. As you know, I'm an adjunct professor there, mm-hmm. and I teach a couple classes in PR. And Bill was a staple in my classes. He was one of my more popular speakers. The students would love when he would come with Lincoln and then with Abner. In fact, the guide dogs would usually steal the show because they were so handsome, and Bill would make a joke of it. He said, all the ladies are gathering around the guide dog, and they forget all about me. And then Bill would offer some really good insight to the students, sure. and tell them how to get involved in broadcasting, really how to get involved in any particular career. And then he would spice it with some witty jokes. Mm-hmm. He would tell some jokes as an Irish priest or as a German priest or whatever. Because he was such a talented speaker and so adept at using his voice, he would do these great imitations of different folks, mm-hmm. and he just held my students spellbound. And then I would give him a little quiz on what Bill talked about, and he would grade the quiz. And, mm-hmm. and he was a pretty tough grader, though. And he was a tough cookie. He had strong opinions on a lot of issues, and you wouldn't want to mess with him. He'd be like Hurricane Bill. He let his opinions out there, but you respected him all that much more because he wasn't a shrinking violet. He told you what he felt. And invariably, his advice was very sound. He was a very intelligent guy, a good thinker, and had a wonderful perspective on the media. And man, I'm going to miss him terribly. He knew so much about so many things.
Yes.
And he was always happy to share his knowledge with you. And he was always willing to talk to people, give advice. I would often get inquiries from folks wanting to do stories about people who are blind, and Bill was always available, always willing to give advice, always willing to be helpful. He was just a great guy. And as I say, he left a big void because he touched so many lives, and he had such an impactful life of his own that it's going to be tough. But I think as we carry on Bill's legacy with the work we're going to do here at the Beacon and Chris Radio, and every day if we shoot for excellence in what we do, I think that's a tribute to Bill because that's how he lived his life. He always had the highest standards, and I think if we can carry on in his footsteps by having that same commitment to excellence, I think that's a very nice tribute to him, which he would appreciate. I think it's important to be kind to our fellow man and woman. Like Bill was always very kind and considerate to folks and helpful, and I think that's an important part of his legacy as well. So again, I think we honor his memory and honor, frankly, the memory of others that we've lost. Mm-hmm. By being kind to our fellow men and women and being helpful whenever we can. I think that's an important thing to remember, and I would hope folks would honor Bill's memory by being kind to other folks. It was an honor to talk about my dear friend Bill.
On our program today, I'm welcoming in the Comptroller of the State of Illinois, Judy Bartopinka. Judy, welcome. It's nice. Oh, shall I call you Miss Comptroller?
No, you just call me Judy.
Okay.
All right. Everybody else does, so why not?
I know. You had a... Didn't you have a bulldog?
No, I have two Scotties and a beagle.
Two Scotties and a beagle.
And
that's
they're all
right.
Rescue. They're all rescue.
I know. I remember that. Did you have to put one down?
I've had to put down a lot. Last year, I put down three of them.
Did you really?
In 1 year, yeah. One aged out. One I had on dialysis, and she had it. And then the other one I had on chemotherapy for of cancer for 4 years and gave her 4 good years, but then finally we ran out of protocols and saw three of them. So I got a whole brand new crew now.
I was going to
say, whole brand new crew.
Whole new troop with you.
This is Bill Jurek, and I have a very unique opportunity to talk to a gentleman who probably knows more about the Chicago Lighthouse than a lot of people who work here today, and that's Dr. Alfred Rosenblum. And he is one of the founders of our low vision clinic at the Lighthouse. I have to ask you, Doctor, how does it feel to have a clinic named after you?
Well, it's a great honor, Bill. I feel humbled and very honored to be named.
Continuing our celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act, we had a panel at the Chicago Lighthouse on Monday, as I mentioned when we talked to Senator Durbin earlier in the program. We're honored now to have Illinois Supreme Court Justice Ann Burke join us on the show. Nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
It was great. You had a wonderful presentation at our panel discussion this morning. And the one thing that I want everyone to share with is the fact that you were very instrumental in helping to get the Special Olympics started here in Chicago, which actually was the first one, right?
Absolutely.
How did that all come about? When was that?
Thank you so much. And thanks again for highlighting the services available to our vets, because they really need to know what's out there for them.
I really appreciate it. That's Undersecretary Tammy Duckworth with the Federal Veterans Administration telling about the programs that are available for veterans returning to Illinois. And we'll have more coming up on the program. Our special Memorial Day show right here on The Beacon, the service of the Chicago Lighthouse in Friedman Place.
You know, it's not often on this program, The Beacon, that we get to talk to a real celebrity, and I have one sitting across the table from me right now, and that is Coach Mike Ditka. We know him from the Chicago Bears, but he also has a very, very ambitious project going on to help the guys that played football with him when he was out there actually bumping helmets with other guys. Coach, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I have to tell you, I've really become a fan of this lady's work. She's been singing in the background, and as Sarah Harrington and I were talking about the event coming up at Buddy Guy's this coming Thursday, Nikki George, I am a fan of yours.
Thanks.
I am a huge fan of yours, and I have these CDs that I was listening to in my office before I got into the studio here this morning. And I got to, you know, when they talk about hidden talent and hidden treasure, that's you.
Well, thank you very much for saying that.
Oftentimes when I go around and tell people about doing this program, The Beacon, we get asked about different eye diseases, and one of them that seems to be coming up more and more with people having inquiries about is retinitis pigmentosa, or RP. And we have joining us on the program Dr. Gerald Fishman. He's one of the renowned researchers and also clinologists when it comes to working with people who have retina diseases and ailments of the retina. Dr. Fishman, thank you for joining us on the program. I'm glad you could join us today.
It's nice to participate.
All right. I guess probably we should start out by saying, what is RP? Joining us on the program today is State Senator Heather Steens. And first of all, welcome. It's nice to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
You are in the 7th District here in Illinois, in the Illinois State Legislature. What district? What kind of boundaries you got on that?
Right. It's the northernmost lakefront district in the city of Chicago. Okay. So Edgewater, Uptown, Rogers Park, Lincoln Square, Ravenswood.
Okay. Now, how long have you been in the Senate?
Been there about 2.5 years. February of 2008, I was first elected.
Let me ask you a question. What in God's green earth made you want to get involved in politics? Because it seems like it's such a such an alphabet soup going on down there now. That
It is. And, it's not something I'd ever aspired to. I never envisioned myself being a politician. Don't really consider myself a politician still.
Right.
The outgoing state senator, Carol Ronan, is the person who really first suggested and encouraged me to consider running for it.
Hi, I'm Juan Suarez. I was one of the interns here at Chris Radio in 2015. I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to work with our friend, Bill Jurek. I had a wonderful experience here as an intern. One of the things that was amazing about working with Bill, he was very good at, even when you weren't looking for help or advice, or he felt that you needed it with certain things, not just in radio, but just in life in general. He was very good at knowing and having a feel for telling you what you needed to hear or how you needed to correct something without having to be obvious about you needing that situation discussed or worked out. That's the way he was. He was a people person. He had the ability and a knack to also tell you, hey, things are going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I had an opportunity to come back this year in 2017 to Chris Radio. And it's been a wonderful experience working with a great friend. And he was that. He became not only a boss or a supervisor to me, but also a friend. He was very kind and very inspirational in his words and his approach to how he handled my personal situation, whether it was work or life in general. We're going to miss him. I know I am truly going to miss him. And I hope that those of you who had the opportunity to see him and work with him and be around him feel these sentiments, because we are not going to always have a person like that. So, Bill, we're going to miss you, buddy. And because of him, he also gave me the opportunity to continue to pursue my goal and my passion, which is radio. And he gave me that opportunity once again, because for a while it had left me, and he brought it back to me, and I really, really appreciate that. So from all of us here at the Chicago Lighthouse and Chris Radio and myself, Juan Suarez, we'll miss you truly, dearly, my friend, and we will continue to strive and work hard to make Chris Radio as good as you wanted it to be.
Any one final story that you have?
Yeah, there's one thing that I have always just found so tremendously endearing about Bill, and that is I've known him for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. We would talk weekly, at least, you know, sometimes a couple of times a week. I'm not one to answer my phone. I think that's been a topic of conversation on the show, but I typically always have my phone on silent, and no matter how many years passed and how many messages he left me, he always, always, always identified himself as Bill Jurek and left his return phone number so that I would be able to call him back. And I used to give him such a hard time about this because, like, I know the guy. He's one of my closest friends. You know, I've known him for years. I know his voice. I have his phone number. I have all of his phone numbers programmed into my phone. And every single time, Lainey Kleeman, this is Bill Jurek, give me a call back. And, you know, and then would give me his phone number again. And I just thought that was the most, and you made a good point. I think that's probably from broadcasting, right, and just having to put your name and your number out there all the time. But I just found it incredibly endearing that no matter how many years passed or how many hundreds of voicemails he left me, Bill Jurek, here's my phone number. Give me a call back. So well, that's a good memory.
Well, the thing about Bill and I is we shared birthday.
Right. You guys did.
Yes. We also shared a love of course, radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Bill was eons beyond me. He told me once that he would listen to the radio. He'd call up the disc jockey, ask him what music he played, what commercials he played. Then he would go and recreate the show with himself as the disc jockey.
Oh, my God. Like, right. As a child, he would do this?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
My gosh.
I mean, I don't think I ever was that involved. Also, we also worked in commodities on LaSalle Street. He was a trader. I was an equity raiser. So we had.
Seriously?
Yes.
How did I not know this?
Well,
I mean, there's a secret life there that I've never heard of. That's fascinating.
And we're very simpatico. So I know that wherever he is and whatever he's doing now, he's probably already convinced some program director to put him on the air. But you'll always have a place here, Bill, and I'll leave the mic open for you.
Could you? You could probably still give our address too.
I think I could.
Or our phone number.
Yes, I think I could.
See, she's good. This lady is fantastic.
I'm a treasure, really. I'm a treasure.
Let's not get crazy now. But anyway, you could go to our website and you could get a podcast of past shows. I think, like I said before, we go back about 18 months. Or you can listen this coming Wednesday night and hear a repeat of this show as well.
Yes.
In case you missed the invaluable information that Sheila had to share with us and that Sarah had to tell us about the Sweets for Sight.
Absolutely.
And talk about two sweeties at the Lighthouse, you know.
My little sweetums.
It's music in the background. I can hear it. Music is playing. And Tom and Brian
Be
are
money.
Just waiting there for us to hear what they have to share with us. So, gentlemen, start your engine.
From Studio C, in the heart of the studios of Chris Radio, welcome to Tom's Corner.
Hello, this is Tom Persky, and I am in sunny Arizona after leaving the Lighthouse in July, working with Bill Jurek for 9 years as part of the Beacon Radio program. And what an experience it was to be able to work with Bill, who's such a consummate professional, but just I got to know him just as a real person that enjoys life, that enjoys stories. He and I would try to challenge each other with the craziest stories about losing vision, and when we both had to go through this situation about giving up driving and things like that. And we're both like real Chicagoans. We talked about growing up in Chicago and all the experiences we had, all the, we like to talk about food, all the great restaurants and places that we would go to. And then Bill just had a real great way of, you know, interviewing people and guests and really got to the heart of a situation. And he had a real skill of being able to do that with the radio, with his radio voice. It was very pleasant to listen to. He was also good, just a great sense of humor. I never saw him ever down or frustrated. He would just always be up, and we would be joking. And of course, he would also introduce Brian Hawkins in my area called Tom's Corner with a few backhanded comments. And I thought it was really in good taste and always well done, but he was always teasing us about one thing or another. But I felt sad when I heard about the news about Bill when I moved away from Chicago, and I just wanted to call in and give my regards to his family and to all of you at the Lighthouse. I know we're going to miss Bill quite a bit. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Lighthouse Beacon. The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year. Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Hi, this is Ray Campbell, formerly employed by the Chicago Lighthouse for people who are blind or visually impaired in the Adaptive Tech Center, and good friend of Bill Jurek. My favorite story was one that he told me. He was at WGN, and he had to feed off of his shift into the noon show, which is, for those who don't know, it's a farm show. So Bill tells me this story that he's waiting for Orion Samuelson to show up, and he's waiting, and the news is going, and he's waiting, and like with like 30 seconds before, and Bill's thinking, oh man, I don't know anything about cows or hogs or any of this stuff. I'm going to have to do all this farm stuff. About 30 seconds before he's due to go on, Orion shows up. And what Bill told me was that the people at GN said he does it to every newbie. He just does. And it was really, it was a great story and just one of many that Bill always shared with me. Rest in peace, Bill.
Bar and Grill up on Milwaukee Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Can you say Milwaukee Avenue?
Milwaukee Avenue.
So you say it right.
Who doesn't say it right?
There's a lot of people that don't say it. They call them Milwaukee Avenue.
No. See, but this comes from years of enunciating.
Right.
I mean, we speak for a living. We've taken classes to enunciate. And so Milwaukee yes.
I always used to kid before I had voice lessons from Mr. Clark, Everett Clark, one of the renowned actors on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 30s and 40s and that. And then he went into voice lessons. But he said, if you're going to pronounce it, you're going to pronounce it correctly. He says, or else I don't need to meet with you anymore. So, I mean, he was one of those guys, you know?
Yeah, he's not doing you any favors.
So, no,
you're doing him.
No. Yeah. So I always had the fear that I would go to work in Milwaukee because I'd have to say it right.
You would have to say it right.
I'd have to say it right.
No, I think mumblers and poor grammar are two of my biggest pet peeves.
So
I do my best to avoid it at all costs.
Or Chicagoese.
Chicagoese,
mm-hmm. You know, because it's a mixture of all the different ethnic races and dialects and everything.
Which is kind of cool. You know? It has its own charm.
It's
I can appreciate it.
It's almost like New York, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, what are you doing
it
over
is,
there?
It is. When you get into like the hardcore Chicagoans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
It's just amazing. But I love to listen to New Yorkers, too.
Yeah.
Forget about it. You know? And they see good-looking women. They go, how you doing? You know?
I can manage it for about 10 minutes.
And then that's about it. You've had it,
right? That's it. Yep.
I'm sitting here ready to record a tribute to Mr. Bill Jurek, Director Emeritus of the Chicagoland Reading and Information Service, Chris Radio, at the Chicago Lighthouse. And I'm sitting across from an empty chair at where Bill sat, and it makes me very sad. We have had a significant loss at the Chicago Lighthouse of a great radio personality, host of The Beacon Show, which is the only advocacy program for people who are blind or visually impaired, disabled, on the radio. And it was the brainchild of Bill, and he was so passionate and enthusiastic and so wonderful in his role and so grateful to be on the radio. I know that the world will miss him, and the disability community, the blind community, all of us at the Chicago Lighthouse will miss Bill Jurek. I had the privilege of having an opportunity to say goodbye to Bill in his last days, visited him the day before he passed, the evening before, and although he was nonverbal and seemingly unconscious, I know that he heard a lot of what I said. His eyes lit up and he made some hand movements when I reminded him of his great interviews, including that with Congressman Davis and Senator Kirk, and that he was able to joke that he was able to have this bipartisan meeting and that they were so cordial to one another. They're great with one another. But only Bill Jurek was able to carry off that kind of interview with ease and poise and humor. He was so funny. He was a great friend and a hero. He would tell me, it was so heartwarming, that he considered me to be a wonderful boss, very supportive. And I just said that we were so blessed to have him as a talent here at the Lighthouse. I told him when I was leaving the hospital that evening, I said, held his hand, and I said, Bill, you are a rock star, and we love you. And that really sums up how we feel about Bill. And he is a great spirit. We said goodbye to him, but he will always live in our hearts. The day of his funeral, it was a beautiful day. And I remember opening up my cell phone that Saturday morning, and I was checking my voicemails, and for some reason, my voicemail went directly to a voicemail that Bill had sent in February 2017. And here we were, September 10th, 2017. So I took that as a sign. Bill was saying that he was all right and that we would meet again someday, but it was definitely a sign from Bill. I also want to mention how generous he was. I have things that Bill has given me every anniversary of my work date. He would send me yellow roses, and I thought it was significant that they gave out yellow roses at his funeral to put on the coffin in the end. As I mentioned, Bill was such a funny guy. He would call me on July 4th or soon before and say, Janet, I hope you have a fifth on the 4th. That's the kind of humor Bill had. And you just crack up. He was bigger than life, his personality, and that will definitely live on. At his memorial service at the Lighthouse, we're going to have some of Bill's favorite foods, but definitely we'll be serving Baker's Pizza with sausage, onion, and pepper, which Bill absolutely loved. We want to pay tribute to him and say goodbye to him.
his family members from the lighthouse want to say goodbye to him in our own special way. So, Bill, we love you. You're a rock star.
I'm still thinking about those waffles.
Oh, baby, you got to try them.
Oh,
tell Stacy to make some for you, because they really, and I haven't done the pumpkin puree yet, but I'm thinking this weekend that might be necessary. Yeah, because that actually sounds delicious.
All right. Well, thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our chief executive officer at the Lighthouse, for believing in our program as we head into our eighth year.
You know, they have a picture of all the board of directors up on the wall.
Do they?
And she's like the one, I don't know, there's eight or nine just, you know, men, and then there's cute little Janet, who I swear looks to be 23 in that picture. I mean, she's just so...
Well, you know, those guys on the board.
Don't say anything about the guys on the board.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We're on the radio, friend.
They've been there forever.
But Janet looks lovely. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yes, she does.
She looks absolutely lovely.
And Sandra Barullo's our associate producer. Intern on the program is Brad Shishkoff. And, of course, Mr. Brian Hawkins did that voodoo that he does so well, not only in the corner, but also with all the technical help as well. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. You can catch us on ACB Radio, also Chris Radio, and you can listen to us online as well. We're all over.
You can't get rid of us.
No.
We will find you.
Right.
We will chase you and find you.
Like the stuff behind the elephants in the circus. We'll see you back here next Saturday. You know, facts matter, and you've come to the right station, Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we'll see you back here on AM 820 next week.